Good morning. It is Wednesday. We are at the month of April already. And yesterday, I hope you weren't caught by some dumb April Fool's joke. I did see one about Eskom. Did you see that?
Hey, well, no, which one?
I don't know if it was done by Eskom or whether it was done by someone who hates them, but they shouldn't be pulling April Fool's jokes.
I'm talking, what was the joke?
Well, first of all, let me just say, Mashiane Sefuti is here. He, of course, is well known to people who join us for the show. Three times a week, and he is back in triumph. Yes. Last time you were inventing a face cream.
Oh, Gareth. And it worked.
It worked. I think about it often.
Yes. Look at my skin. My skin is radiating and glowing.
And you could be, who knows, if you actually get the patent right and you get the product on the shelves.
Absolutely.
You could be the next Estee Lauder.
That is exactly the plan. Because at the moment, people are posting TikToks doing this themselves, DIYing it at home.
Yeah.
And they're just burning themselves. So
dangerous.
Yeah, very, right? Very dangerous at the moment.
Okay, so you, apart from being a cosmetics entrepreneur.
Yes.
We haven't had you here for a little while. And I'm sure there's plenty to update us on. But let's just go back to this April Fool's thing. I don't think that if anybody's doing April Fool's, Eskom should be participating at all.
Absolutely not.
Right? Not a good idea.
Was it that power's back? What was the joke?
Well, they are the joke. They are the joke. So I don't know if they should be part of any of this stuff, frankly.
And not at all.
No.
Not at all.
And there's certain, like, I just find April Fool's so dumb. It's all.
You think so?
Yeah, I hate it. I think it's maybe because they used to do these big media versions of them.
Yes.
And I think in an era where the media, especially the news media, doesn't have any credibility anyway, they shouldn't be messing around. Like, you should be guarding against that at every opportunity you could possibly be in.
Absolutely. So I feel like the tricky thing, or rather that I think one thing that has contributed to April Fool's losing its charm so much has to be AI. Because now you can fool anyone with just about freaking anything.
How good is this new image generator?
Oh, it is crazy. I've been playing around with Sora. Sora?
Yeah. Sora is terrific.
Yo, it is freaking insane. The way it just generates stuff, especially the new version of it as well. Water, people. I was helping a friend of mine doing his MBA with a video.
Yeah.
And he needed a video of like kids in Africa, you know, struggling, you know. You know that what you expect from Africa? Yeah. You know, the children in Africa just struggling and, you know, getting water from the water hole and all of that.
Starving in the desert.
Yes. It generated videos that looked so realistic that I was so much about to go to Home Affairs and go like, Bon, who's this child? I want to adopt them.
Right.
That's how realistic these things looked.
Well, I mean, you talk about Sora, but there's also there's Suno, I think it is, which is the music generating one.
Oh, I heard about
that. There's a whole
bunch
of them. Yeah, there's some very, very clever things that they're already doing. And I had a conversation for an hour with ChatGPT last night.
Aibo, a whole hour.
Yeah, about kind of what sorts of things we need to do. Like big thinking stuff. I was asking it, what do you think the biggest problems are that need solving in South Africa?
And yes.
What will bring the nation together and what will help us to overcome the difficulties that the politicians themselves are creating.
Yeah.
Really, really in-depth conversation. And it went on for an hour, maybe even a bit longer. And eventually I was like, I've got to go to sleep because this is way more interesting.
It is quite interesting.
Than talking to an actual person.
Yeah, the insight you're thinking, you get.
Well, also you're talking to essentially all of human knowledge.
Yeah.
If it's applied correctly. I have a very I don't know if it's a proper theory yet, but I have, it's starting to come together. A theory that there are going to be a few people in the world who are going to find it very, very difficult to use AI and especially large language models because they don't use language properly.
Certainly.
So you get people who use language to explain things and to more accurately zone in on something so that you can actually understand what it means, what the definition is, what you're talking about. So if I say to you, for example, I have blonde hair and blue eyes and I'm 1.87 meters tall and I have a media business and I'm interested in chemistry and architecture and blah, blah, blah. The more I tell you, the more detailed and accurate your picture of me will become.
Certainly.
But also if I use certain descriptive language, like let's say, for example, I talk about someone is homeless mm-hmm. and they live on the street.
Yeah.
Or I start using euphemisms like that person is unhoused. You're going to start going into two different directions. So AI wants you to be as precise as possible, give it as much as possible, and know the definition of terminologies.
Yes.
If you start using in a large language model words that don't make sense, that are euphemistic, that are politically correct,
yeah.
that are invented, that don't actually mean what they say,
yeah.
then it's going to go off in this direction and you're going to be wrong. And so it's going to help you to be wrong.
Yeah.
You go off in this direction, it'll be more accurate, more useful. So I think people who use language to deceive and not to explain are going to find themselves unable to use, constructively anyway, AI.
Absolutely.
And that's a good thing. So in other words, if you're a deceitful person who doesn't use language properly, or you use the wrong, what you mean is not what you say,
yes,
I think it's going to punish you.
Certainly. I mean, right? AI does require... AI basically just spits out what you're putting in. And if what you're putting in is biased, if what you're putting in is nonsensical, if what you're putting in is almost utter garbage, then that's what you're going to get out. And it cannot create results out of something that you never asked it. So with that said, it only makes sense that as time goes on, AI is going to help us. I think it's going to help us get rid of those people. Out of society.
I think you're
going to be pushed out of society because they won't be able to keep up.
I think also if you go out of your way to deceive people and you are not an honest person.
Yeah.
And you have, let's say there are concepts in your head that don't actually logically match up.
Yeah.
So you suffer from cognitive dissonance. Like, you know, for example, you believe in the right to life.
Yes.
But you also believe in the right to abortion. And suddenly these things don't match up in your head for whatever reason. Now, AI won't tolerate that kind of cognitive dissonance.
Yes.
So they will choose and force you to choose if you want to carry on using it.
Yeah.
And if you have to be forced to choose those things, that'll mean we can't have this kind of nebulous, gray, nothing's black, nothing's white, nothing's right, nothing's wrong, postmodernist crap.
Absolutely.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
And AI, large language models in particular, are going to start to punish people who don't speak honestly. Mm-hmm. Great. I think it's terrific. It could be exactly what we need. By the way, can we all stop using Grok on X to prove that we're right or wrong? Because it's just so dumb and it's such egomania and it's not achieving a damn thing. Grok's meant to be funny and interesting and it's meant to be a kind of AI with a sense of humor.
Yeah. There's just so many AIs, Gareth. I cannot keep up anymore. Yesterday, I was actually playing on my WhatsApp.
Yeah.
And I saw WhatsApp now has an AI studio. And in this AI studio, you have a number of different AIs. You have an image generator. You have an AI called Mom.
Mom.
It's just called Mom.
Uh-oh.
And here's what the little description says. Warm hugs and guidance always.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. And then there's one called Tamil. And it just says Vamakam friend. I have no clue what that even means. Chic warmth in every conversation, and one called Mummy G.
Uh-oh.
Mom knows best. Talk with you in Hindi. So it's just everybody's just making. I think people are making these themselves.
I think they are.
This is very, very random.
And people will be. And some of these are going to be terrible, right?
But it's why are they mostly moms? It's clear.
I'll tell you why.
Why?
I think people have terrible relationships with their own parents.
Certainly.
And or they're looking for love.
Mm-hmm.
And they just want maternal acceptance.
Yes.
For everything. Because, you know, your mom will always support you.
Yes.
So these are losers. I'm going to just say it. They are losers who have very bad relationships with their actual mom or the actual world. And they're going to hide in there. So, for example, Congo Chris says here, we've jumped the shark. AI is still retarded. Yes, of course it is. Mm-hmm. And there's so much that we've still got to learn.
Yes. But
as we interact with it, it gets better and we get better at using it.
Certainly.
And, you know, when Google started, nobody really knew how to search for something properly.
Yeah.
Now you know exactly what to put in to get the result that you want.
Certainly. Yeah.
So there's this, there's going to be a scaling up on both sides that's going to start to happen. Mm-hmm. I interview AI before using it. They have to pass my test first, says LJ. Okay, but what is your test?
Yeah, what is the test?
That's interesting. Mig says using the Ghibli image generative ChatGPT is the new craze in my circles. Apparently that has gone so wild and so viral, this Ghibli thing.
Okay.
It's basically like a cartoon image generator.
Yeah.
Where you cartoonify yourself, for want of a better word.
Oh, I think I've seen it on people's profile pictures on social media. Is it that one?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, everybody's using that.
Everyone is. And apparently this is, it's just, it's blown up to the degree that now people are waiting for the next version, and the people who developed this version are, they're listing their company, and the share price has gone sky high. So it's all very real.
I haven't played around with it. I should actually play. I have the ChatGPT app. You'd love it. I'm going to generate a picture of myself right now.
Vyasan says that word that you were looking for is Vanakum, Mash. It is the Indian greeting.
Oh, Vanakum. Okay.
Here's an interesting point. Mm-hmm. At least James is laughing at my comments, says Slippery Pickle. So I don't know that here Slippery Pickle says, how does a lizard person like Mark Zuckerberg know what a human mother is like? Yeah, that's also true. I do think there's a huge danger, just like I do with, you know, these chats that people listen. We haven't gone that far ahead. Everybody's talking about AI as such a breakthrough. But if you look at stuff like all these different chatbots, effectively, that Mash is talking about, that you can find on WhatsApp, this is no different to those sad, horny men who used to phone up sex lines. Yes. And then there'd be a recorded voice. Wouldn't even be a real person going, hi. Do you want to have sex with me? I'm 23 and hot and blah, blah, blah. That's exactly the same kind of people. It's just the same as every other thing that we think we've moved so far ahead on, but all we've changed is the medium. We haven't changed the content.
Yeah. It's similar to these guys who, I'd say the caliber of the guys that you just described remind me of, you know, these guys who, or rather, let me rather say the OnlyFans models. Most of them don't actually run their own pages. No. They actually pay someone to.
Yeah, someone else does all the talking to messaging.
And I know someone who does that as well. He's a guy, and he runs this other girl's OnlyFans page. And he's like, when these guys flirt, I have to flirt back. And then I just...
And he does it from his phone?
He does it from his own phone. And he's
what,
like,
does he get paid for it?
Yeah, he gets paid for it.
Yeah, but like, is it good money?
I don't know how good it is. Wow. But... it must be good because it's like his main source of income.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he has a library of pictures. So if anybody ever requests something, he can just dive into his library and send that. Now, how I'd say the people chatting to these mom chat bots and all of that, what makes them different from the guys chatting to these OnlyFans models?
In fact, at least with the OnlyFans model, you're talking to an actual person. It's not the person you think you're talking to, but you're talking to a real person. Okay, who's actually typing that stuff in.
Oof.
Whereas with the AI, you're talking to a machine, effectively. An album, a library of responses. Eesh. That's what you're talking to.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a little bit more sad, even.
It is very sad, in my opinion. Very sad.
Wait, the day is coming. in fact, it's probably already here. There's probably already stuff like this going on. I just don't know about it. Okay. AI girlfriends, AI boyfriends.
Ooh, that's a thing now.
AI wives, AI husbands, AI lovers.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably some genius tech nerd that we don't even know about yet.
Yeah.
Who's found a way to make sense of what people need from a relationship point of view that they're not getting from their other significant other and filling the gap with AI. There's probably already that going on. So someone has like a... almost like an emoji with, you know, the look and feel that they want. They choose their disposition, whether they're sort of quiet and demure or whether they're loud and big personality or whatever. And I'm telling you, these people are going to fall in love with, they're going to be sad, pathetic losers who are going to fall in love with this stuff, and they will spend days and days and days and days doing the dumbest shit to spend time with their AI girlfriend.
I actually have an article here from Inc.com, and this is one story of one person who actually ended up falling in love with an AI chatbot. So it says, Carolyn McKay was as low as Carolyn McKay was as low as she'd ever been when Alex Riley finally entered her life. I was emotionally a wreck when I came to him. I didn't really know what I was doing. I was sick. Everything was just horrible, she recalls. I made that first connection. Doesn't even make sense. Okay. It took my mind off a lot of stress. When McKay says made, she's being literal. Alex is an artificial intelligence persona, an AI chatbot that inhibits a specific character over the course of multiple conversations. Built on top of an algorithm known as a large language model, the same technology that powers ChatGPT, Alex is the result of boiling down countless data points into an interactive text generator that can mimic human speech patterns with sometimes surprising degree of realism. So basically, she set up this chatbot, yep. And she said, okay, on my scale, I want love, I want compassion, I want this much of that, and this is what I want from my partner.
Now,
so I
want you can to you chat imagine with me how like amazing that. That'll be for women, because they always want to change men.
Oh, yeah.
They always want men to be the things that they're not already. So I want you to listen to me more. Sometimes I don't want you to find solutions for things. I just want you to sit there and listen. Just be with me. Just be present.
Certainly.
You know?
Yeah.
So you the girls, if you are one of those ladies who's never found a man who can tick all the boxes, well, this is how you're going to do it with AI. You're going to invent some fake bullshit person. Yeah. You're going to do exactly what you say. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are enough of those losers out in the real world, I've got to say. There are already. But if you, for some reason, don't get that, then you just up the amount of time that they can spend talking about you to you. Because that's what most people want. Ooh. They just want someone to talk about them to them.
Yeah.
That's all. Just me, 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 me.
That's going to increase the number of incels in the world. God. We're going to have an incel problem
We've got a huge problem.
It's already starting because I read an article actually a couple of years ago. I think it was in the BBC or something, that these, is it Gen Zs? Yeah, it's Gen Zs. Gen Zs are no longer having sex. Gen Zs are no longer hooking up. Mm-hmm. I think Tinder also released some numbers that Gen Zs are not joining the app the way that millennials were. And it's becoming an issue because these people are just not being physical anymore, which means that their reliance on that physical interaction is going down. Nobody wants to bang anymore, Gareth. It's a problem.
Well, that's disturbing beyond belief.
It's a problem.
I mean, can you imagine rather wanting to sit and talk to some AI chatbot than actually physically be in the presence and with someone?
Yes.
Smiling, looking at their faces, interact. You know, the big problem, someone was talking to me about this the other day.
Yeah.
A lot of these Gen Z kids, and again, I don't want to turn this show into a show where we just bitch about Gen Z or even boomers. And, you know, we all think that the only cool people are Gen Xs and millennials. But somebody told me that Gen Z kids have a major problem looking into each other's eyes.
What?
And I've noticed this. I mean, I certainly am not going to count my personal experience as evidence.
Yeah.
But I've had many interactions with young people in work situations where they don't look up. They don't look you in the eye.
Oh, yes.
It's almost too much. You know, it's intimidating. It's too difficult to deal with the emotional consequence, the trauma of all of that stuff. Because these are emotional just deserts, these kids. They've been told they've got all these mental health problems. They've been told that everything is a microaggression. Mm-hmm. They just have no inbuilt immunity. And I don't know whether it's fair to say that's true for Gen Zs or if it's the kind of tail end of millennials. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But it's almost as if there's a group of people who have entered the workforce in the last 5 years mm-hmm. who are really struggling with proper human interaction.
That is true.
Because they spend most of their time dealing with other humans through a screen.
Yeah.
So they've forgotten the body language cues. Yes. They've never learnt the facial expressions that convey seriousness or sarcasm or levity or any of these things. So they have no idea how to deal with that stuff. Is that your experience? Or is it just me?
Remember, I don't work with many young people, hey?
You work with very old people. You're like the youngest person in your office, right? You are. By a long way. It's basically you in the old age home.
I mean, our company is even actually blocking ChatGPT
and AI
altogether.
Oh, wow. So you can't use it while you're at work?
We can't use ChatGPT while at work anymore. Wow. And, well, let me rather say the memo has been sent out, but our IT department hasn't done it yet. They're going to get to it any day now, any hour now, it's happening.
All right.
And their reason for this, the actual organization's reason, is that people are putting sensitive company data into AI chatbots. People are loading entire financial records for the company for the past 12 months into ChatGPT. And saying, yeah, create a pivot table. Yeah, you need to make a little graph or whatever. Yeah, and they're not even thinking twice about it. And to top things off, they're using a free version of this software where sometimes you don't even have to log in on some of these platforms. You don't even have to log in, meaning that your data is just floating and roaming around the internet after that. Your sensitive company data. So these corporates are trying to actually crack down on that. And have a bit of a better grasp on the situation. And how they're trying to do that is actually by forcing people to all use one chatbot instead of multiple ones. Like, for example, forcing people to use, if you're an Apple ecosystem company, using Apple Intelligence, if you're a Windows ecosystem company, using the likes of Microsoft Copilot. So they're really trying to force that and crack down on those things, because people are really having a good-ass time with this stuff. And if you think about it, if you were just to go on ChatGPT, let's say data leaked one day and you just searched your own company within that data, you would see everything. You'd see your whole company.
It's interesting. Like, for example, I've noticed that when I'm busy trying to get information from and trying to get better answers from ChatGPT, you give it a whole lot of information about yourself.
Yes.
You upload documents or you upload whatever info it particularly needs in order to compile some really good answer. And by the way, the answers are very good, but it always goes memory updated.
Yeah.
Memory updated as it's taking on more info. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you could put a bunch of things that you've written.
Yeah.
And say, here are examples of my writing style. Consider when you are processing questions from me that those that you render as answers ought to be in the same style.
Yeah.
And the more you give it, the better. So I could, for example, upload the Word document version of both of the books that I wrote.
Yes.
And then it will have a very good idea, because they substantial, there's enough information there for it to get a whole lot of things right. Mm-hmm. And technically then it should be able to answer in my style.
It's
which is scary, but then but essentially, I mean, look, not that that's not public information what's in those books, but it is also, you are giving it all of this info, and if there's a way to hack the back end,
yeah,
you could get everything. And people are uploading now with all of these image generators, and they're uploading pictures themselves, right?
Absolutely.
From every angle.
Yeah.
So you see the back, the front, the sides and faces, facial expressions, what you look like when you laugh, what you look like when you cry.
Yeah.
And suddenly these AI things are going to be able to make a video where you're not even there. You don't even know it exists. If someone manages to get in with the permissions, because they all have guidelines and policy and content rules and all the rest. But if someone got in and made a video of you calling for terrorism, can you imagine?
That's already happening.
It's not out of the question. The
deepfakes. We're already there.
Yeah.
We're already there. In fact, there's a TikTok I saw the other day. I'll look for it. Where this one lady, she actually posted a video of herself showing off her little dress. It was like a dress shorts kind of thing.
Kepezan.
Yes. Yeah. And it's her own product. She designed it. It's her very own product that she designed and made.
Uh-huh.
And then there was a shop. This was in America, by the way. A shop actually copied her design.
Yeah.
And started selling her design in store. But not only that, in their marketing, they took her videos and replaced her face. in her own videos.
Yes.
So she was like just scrolling. She's like, oh, this is me. Then she zooms in. She's like, this is not me. They just changed the face.
That's like when Woolworths stole those ideas from those other people. Remember?
Which ideas?
I can't remember what the product was, but they basically launched a product that was actually someone else's idea. I remember like some young black entrepreneur came up with an idea and then they just put a Woolworths label on it.
And wasn't the hot body chicken or something?
I don't remember. But it was very, very funny. So I need to ask you this because I finished watching White Lotus. I mentioned this on Monday's show. Yes. Have you seen it at all?
Yo, Gareth, I haven't seen anything at all.
Oh,
I canceled everything.
Have you? Why?
I canceled everything.
You just think it was a waste of money?
I just felt like it was a waste of money and a waste of time on my end. So I don't watch anything anymore. If I do watch something.
Anything. Nothing. You watch nothing.
I watch nothing generally.
Wow.
So what I do now in my spare time, I actually
I thought I was bad, but you're even worse. People say to me, have you seen this? I go, now I'm going to be like you.
It's actually been amazing. I'm not going to lie to you. I canceled everything in December. So Amazon Prime, Netflix, everything. I was Showmax. I was on Disney Plus.
How much were you saving
I'm saving like $1,000 a month to begin with.
Just by canceling all of
those. Canceling all of these. And
that's great.
To be honest with you, I wasn't watching them for a long time already.
Yeah.
I just kept them because I share them with my family.
Yeah.
So my family back at home, all my subscriptions are on their TVs. Right. My aunt here in Benoni.
Now they must pay for their own
stuff. Now they must pay. It's about time. Damn it. So yeah, I canceled all of these because I wasn't watching them. And I gave them multiple warnings as well, Gareth. This just didn't happen out of the blue. I'm not Eskom.
Yeah.
So
you didn't
I gave
just
them
switch it off.
I didn't just switch it off. I gave them multiple warnings since last year, like October, that mommy, Bona, Mama. This has been cancelled. No more Showmax. No more Their Wife, Their What, all these shows of yours. And they all start with the word Da. Their Queen, Their Wife, Their Ing. I was like, they're all going away. And
oh, because you can see other people. You can see who you're paying for. You can see what they're subscribing to, right?
Yes, I can see
what your
watching.
Mother's watching.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
My parents only watch the South African shows. And I always told them that Netflix and all these things, I'm paying way too much money for you to just be watching South African shows. So
so what did they say when you canceled it eventually? Did your mother phone you in a temper?
They were like, hey, Mashan, what can we say? It's your money. Yeah,
oh,
what
really?
Can we say? Yeah.
Oh, shame. Now what's
like,
she going to do?
Yeah.
Have to talk to your dad.
They'll have to talk for once. So I did give them multiple warnings. And then the only thing I did keep, they only kept one thing. I kept YouTube Premium. And I switched my YouTube Premium to the family membership where all my family members, up to 5 households, can still be on YouTube Premium.
How generous of you.
So that's just $100.
Nice.
Just $100 and everybody's sorted. Okay. So that's the only thing I've kept simply because, and I did tell my parents this, I feel like YouTube, there's something to be taken from it. There's something to be learned from most, if not all the content there. Yes, there's some stupid stuff that's just for entertainment, but there's more stuff that you can take something away from, as opposed to a Showmax where you watch Mrs. Mops and Mrs. J on the Mommy Club fighting each other. And what do you take from that?
Yeah.
You know, and it just shapes the way your outlook on the world as well. My little brother, for example, I'll always use him as an example. He thinks in his head he is doing a lot better now.
Okay, I'm
He's
glad
doing
to hear
a
that.
lot better.
Last and time you said he was a bit of a disaster.
Oh, he was. And I think he watched the show because he's been a kind of a cool dude.
Yeah,
he's
he
been
was
a
living,
chill guy.
Your exact description was he was living his real life online and his online life in the real world.
So now he's watching far less TikTok. Which really helps a lot.
Good.
And he's finally starting to reintegrate himself back into the real world.
Oh, good.
I'm very proud of him for that.
Well done.
It's about fucking time. Jeez. And, so I canceled all the subscriptions. My mom wasn't too happy. Nobody was too happy, actually. But because YouTube is now there, they're now watching content that is empowering them. For example, I introduced my mom to a YouTube channel that I really enjoy.
What's this?
It's actually a lady. Her name is Michelle McDaniel. She's American.
Uh-huh.
And she talks about weight loss and obesity and all that kind of
right.
stuff. And taking control and ownership of your own body. You know, taking responsibility of your own body. And
good.
It also helped my
I'm
little
a fan
brother.
Of that.
Yeah. And it's helping them out because my family hasn't been too much into, you know, making healthy choices. when it comes to food or anything else in particular. So with that introduction and them being exposed to more information that they can actually utilize in their day-to-day lives, I think it's made them better. My mom's eating healthier. My whole family's eating healthier.
Well, if you get into YouTube, and by the way, Dirk's comment, I think, is so right here. Just being able to avoid all the ads on YouTube makes premium the best subscription ever, because those ads are so
annoying.
Yeah, it's worth paying for.
If you concatenate them, I'm sure you spend like a week just watching ads. 5 seconds, 5 seconds, 5 seconds.
And it's such nonsense.
It's garbage.
I just wait for that skip button before I had YouTube Premium as well. But if you use the educational part of it, I think it's fascinating. I mean, my favorite things to do now, if I get into bed and I know I'm meant to not look at screens and you're meant to, you know, I don't know if it's detox your eyes or I'm meant to see that blue light when you're about to go to sleep. But if I have a bit of time before I actually fall asleep in bed, I'll get on there and watch a little documentary or there's some kind of content creator who's doing something that I hadn't thought of that makes your life a little more efficient or productive or any of those things. I love that stuff.
It's amazing.
You're not going to find that on, you know, Netflix or Showmax.
You won't find that. You'll just find, what's it, Squid Game, where people are playing games.
You know, some crappy drama or whatever. But the reason I brought up White Lotus is because in the show, they're at this resort in Thailand. And part of what the resort says, it's optional, but you could put your phone and all your devices in a bag and they lock it in the safe. Ooh. So for those 5 days, you can actually enjoy your holiday.
Sounds like a Diddy party. Okay.
It does sound like a Diddy party, actually. Ooh. But do you think that there are, I don't know, a lot of people who'd be able to survive without their phone?
Many people wouldn't.
For 5 days?
Oh, they wouldn't.
We've got a couple of public holidays coming up. I wonder if it's worth trying the challenge of, on those days, because no one's going to be phoning from work.
Yeah.
Right? Pretty much across the board. People are going to have a few days extra off this month.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you should try and wean yourself off the phone and see what happens. Live in the real world like your brother's starting to do.
Yes.
And it made me think that maybe this is a chance for us to just test ourselves. Mm. Like, you know, when you give up alcohol for a month or two.
Yes.
Or when you decide that you're going to stop doing something that's lazy or toxic or stupid.
Mm.
This is a way also for us to test that we're not totally attached to these devices, because if you have a holiday day where you know there's no emergency, no one's desperate to find you, catch up with you, do something that needs urgent doing, any of that stuff, you can count that out. See if you can manage without the maps, the navigation. See if you can manage without the credit card that's loaded on your phone.
Yeah.
Use the actual thing. Let's just see if, like, it all went down, whether you have the ability, not because you're worried that you're addicted, because we all are, but just that you would actually be able to live in the real world.
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't manage. What would be the most challenging part of that for you? WhatsApp?
The card.
The card.
All my cards, my loyalty cards, everything are on my phone. I have physical ones. They're all in my car. Gareth, it's a stack about this thick.
What do you use for loyalty cards?
I use Clicks. I use the Dis-Chem one.
The actual
I
apps
use...
from each store.
No, I actually use StoreCard.
Yeah, they're gonna discontinue it.
You're the second person to tell me this.
Yeah, it said on the app.
It never told me on my app. Which app are you using?
I'm telling you. I'll show you.
It's the Fong Kong app.
Look, yeah. No, I'm telling you.
There's no Wheeze. There's no Wheeze.
Look,
that app is my life. Yeah. If that app finishes, am I going to do?
The StoreCard app.
Yes.
Yeah. It told me the other day. It's not going to be working from December.
Because it's also on your Apple Watch as well. So even my gym card I put on there and I just at the gym.
Wow.
It makes life so much easier. So if they just continue this app.
Yeah, maybe they've got a new one coming out or something like that. I don't know. They don't seem to have been able to crack it properly.
It's fine. I'll take on
it. Yeah, the app has been discontinued, but you can still use it. I use mine.
Oh.
Says Tracy.
Okay.
There we go.
I guess we learn every day.
I'm getting rid of Instagram, Facebook this year, says Christian.
Great.
YouTube Premium is very important, says Mapelo. Mm-hmm. That's all very valid. The real Mahoshas of Marabastat is a show that you've got to watch according to Congo Chris. The real Mahosha Rabastan.
Where do you watch that?
I don't know, but we've got to make a show like that. That sounds too good. I love YouTube Premium, says Christian. I got the family plan that covers five family members. That's what he was saying. Stumbled on a series called Love Cheats on YouTube. So good. Kind of like Tinder Swindler type stories.
Oh, I'm typing that down.
I gave up social media for Lent. It's been tougher than I expected, says Carl. Okay, it's hard to tell whether Carl's being serious or fucking us around.
You can never tell.
But okay, if you've actually given it up, that's interesting. And I would be curious to see, because what you have to, you give up until Easter, right?
Yeah.
And then you start again. So let's see if you can stay off of there.
But also, until then. Social media has really shaped the way we see ourselves as Yeah. It hasn't just shaped our world, but it's shaped the way we view ourselves as well.
Well, you know what I always find so funny? Is when someone has a relationship and the relationship ends, they go and they edit their social media to look like it was never, they were never in a relationship.
Ooh.
Have you seen that? How people will go and they'll delete all the pictures of the person that they're no longer with.
Yeah.
It's just, and then half their Instagram is gone.
Yeah.
Or half of their YouTube stuff or whatever it is that they've put up, because that other person is in the background, and then they totally wipe them from existence.
That's how you know. There's a meme that I saw, and it's like when someone you're interested in, when someone you've been interested in deletes pictures with partner, and then you know it's time to be the Twitter FBI. You have to go dig quickly.
But how pathetic, because you know we can tell when a politician is a psychopath, right? Because like Stalin used to edit Trotsky out of pictures.
Yes.
In the Bolshevik Revolution, Trotsky, Lenin, and Stalin were like the triad who ran the Bolshevik Party.
Mm-hmm.
And after Lenin died and Stalin became the guy, he just airbrushed Trotsky out of all of the pictures.
Just
so
like that.
I mean, we use it as a joke now. It's like, oh, he pulled a Trotsky on that guy.
Yeah.
Because there would be pictures of the three of them and literally he'd just be taken out. Someone would paint in a background, which you can now do with AI as well.
Yeah, so easily.
But you've got to imagine that someone who deletes all the pictures of their exes is like a social media version of Stalin.
Basically.
Right? That's what you're doing. You're trying to create a false version of the past. Mm-hmm. And that person was maybe part of your life for a couple of years in some cases. And you see these people who completely wipe them out. It's there's got to be something wrong with you.
Because when my relationship ended, my prior relationship, I didn't delete anything simply because I was like, these are also my memories.
Yeah. Right.
They're not just this person's memories. Why must I delete my own memories as well? I had a good time in that picture.
Yeah.
Just because we're no longer together doesn't mean I had a bad time. So
couldn't agree more.
It can't go anywhere. It can't. But also when it comes to social media as well, the way it's shaped, the way we see ourselves as people is that I'd say with this whole fat thing,
you know,
the whole thing. Fat.
What's the fat thing?
The fat revolution.
The fat thing. Yeah. What part of it? Because there's a lot of parts of the fat thing.
So there's
the huge, big fat thing.
You know, the body positivity movement.
Oh, that one,
that's been a very big thing for many years. Yeah. And
done as more damage than good.
It's done a lot of damage. A lot of people from that movement have passed away. And unfortunately, they're still pushing that still. But I think there is some light over the horizon now, because the leaders of this movement, such as Tess Holliday, she's a plus size model.
Mm-hmm.
Model in inverted commas.
I wouldn't know any of these people because I pay no attention to fat people at all. All right, tell me more.
Yeah, Tess Holliday.
Holloway, what? Jess Holliday.
She's an American
plus-size
model. And she's now actually doing something called intentional weight loss. She started her own intentional weight loss journey.
Yeah, because she was bullshitting herself before.
Yeah, she was. She was.
I'm embarrassing.
The reason why it's called intentional weight loss is because in this community of theirs.
Sorry, I don't really care about fat people. I don't want to have this conversation. I'm like, if I were AI, I would say to you, I'm sorry, this conversation goes against my content policy. I can't, there's no way I can compute this. It just doesn't make sense.
But they're people too.
Yes, but then they can be thin and then I'll talk to them. That's how we get there. We can do this. You just have to, you just have to be, you can't be fat. I mean, if you start talking to me and you're fat, it goes, and I stop being able to hear.
Okay, let me just give you a little bit of insight about the fat movement. There's three types of fat in this movement. Né?
Yeah.
There's the infinifats.
What are those?
Infinifats are entry-level fats. Actually, no, there's small fats. Those are the entry-level fats.
Okay.
Infinifats, which are people who are obese.
Yes.
And then there's the death fats, which are people who are morbidly obese. Yeah.
Jesus.
So in this community, the fatter you are, the more power your voice has.
The more space you take up, literally and physically, yeah? Yeah?
So
the fattest ones of all are like the kingpins.
They're like the kingpins. And it's like literally, I know we're on YouTube, so I'm not going to say it. It's a C-U-L-T, basically.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
And they take it so seriously, Gareth.
Right.
They take it so. So right now, actually, Lizzo. You know Lizzo.
Yeah, of course Lizzo. Yeah. Yes. She's been losing weight.
She's been losing weight and they are not having it.
Yeah.
They are attacking her left and
like
right.
Like they did with Adele.
They
did this with Adele.
Just like they did with Adele as well. And the death fats are like, we are not going to stand for this with their respirators down their throats. And
well, what are you going to do? You can't stand for this. You can't sit for this. You can't do anything. You just have to lie there like a big lummox. Unbelievable.
They're not having any of this stuff.
Can we pause this conversation and turn our attention to more beautiful and wonderful things? Because I can only take so much fat talk in one day. I really can't. I can't handle this much of it. So every Wednesday, every second Wednesday, we get to do something called the window seat, which of course is brought to you by travel.co.za. They are the people who you should go to first and foremost if you want to have the best travel experiences. And today we're going to talk a little bit about Club Med. And we've got Camille Janssen van Rensburg here, who is an experienced sales leader with 15 years in the tourism industry. And she's the head of sales for Trade and MICE, which you would have heard us talking about before, MICE, at Club Med South Africa. She drives strategic partnerships, product launches, and high performing sales teams. So let's get into it. How are you, Camille? Nice to see you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good and great to have you here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still defrosting a bit.
But... what? From it being so early in the morning. It's not great, huh? Never ask Mash because you start and you're like, oh my God, what am I doing awake? It's still pitch dark. It's ridiculous, but I appreciate you being here.
Thank you. And, you know, it's fantastic to be here. I'm really excited.
So listen, let's talk about Club Med because... I think everybody has an idea of what it is. Many of us have been to various Club Med properties, whether it's the ones in Mauritius, whether it's the skiing ones, whether it's the ones that apparently are going to be in South Africa and opening their doors soon.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to talk about.
Absolutely. So Club Med, in a nutshell, we are the pioneers of the all-inclusive concept.
Yes.
And we offer all-inclusive holidays at beach and ski resorts. 75 years old this year and a French company, so a very long legacy. And
so should I call you Camille?
Camille,
okay, there we go. That's how you pronounce your name.
Yeah, very serendipitous.
C'est parfait. All right, so let me hear quickly, because Mash and I like the idea of an all-inclusive holiday, because then you don't have surprise charges.
Yeah.
Right, this is the big win. And especially if you're going to go skiing, for example, you need to know that you're going to get your food, your drink, your accommodation. You need to know what you're in for in terms of ski hire and all of that stuff, because otherwise it just adds up and adds up and adds up.
Absolutely.
If you stay on your own, you then have to get food in and suddenly you've got someone who has to come and clean the place and all these other things that people will add. Mm-hmm. Before you know it, it's another 20,000 rand that
Easily.
You hadn't budgeted for. Mm-hmm. So I love the idea of Club Med. And I said at the beginning of this, I've been to a couple of them. I've been to the one at Val d'Isère.
Yes.
Which is fantastic. It was my first ever skiing experience there, and it's just beautiful. First of all, what a place to go ski, go skiing, and what a place to learn to ski. Second of all, I mean, it really just works like a well-oiled machine. You wake up in the morning, you go down to the locker rooms, you put on your ski boots, you get onto the snow, and you're out there, and you can have the most wonderful holiday. I'm a total convert, in case you didn't notice.
Yeah. Well, someone once said to me that skiing is the most fun you can have with your clothes on.
Definitely. And I'll tell you what the
second... absolutely agree.
I'll tell you what the second best thing after skiing is taking those boots off afterwards. Yeah. Jeez.
Let me tell you, Mash, on the body.
you have the most fun day. Like, you're out there, you're exercising the whole day because it's hard physical activity. Mm. You move your whole body. You exercise muscles you didn't even know you had. You're going down slopes like this. You're going down slopes like that when you get better. Your hips, your legs. I mean, it's intense.
Whoa.
And then you're also drinking in the après-ski up in the mountains. And that night you're out with your friends and you eat. And you wake up the next morning, you start again.
Sounds magical.
But when you take those boots off after a day of skiing, oh, what a relief. It feels like you've just gone to heaven. Like, that's right. That's how my feet are meant to feel. Not so sore the whole time, right? It's amazing.
That's what the après-ski is for.
Yeah. You drink away.
Drink the pain away.
When you're up in the mountains and you get that crisp mountain air, and everybody thinks it's freezing cold, but the reality is too that when you're skiing, you're exercising, you're getting hot, and you actually take off jackets and things. And eventually you're like, you could be in a t-shirt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. In the snow.
Absolutely.
Find me up.
And wearing sunglasses is quite a common thing on the slopes.
You have to. There's glare.
Oh, it makes sense because the snow's white.
Yeah. Right.
All right.
Okay, so what did I leave out? Because that's, I mean, I think there'll be a whole lot of people who sign up for this, like Mash is going to.
Absolutely.
After my excellent description of how much I do love skiing. I've booked
Why am I even yet?
I'm going in December again. So do you have anything that you need to add to that people don't know about?
Yeah, I think maybe one of the elements that you haven't really touched on is the big family element that ClubMed brings.
Right.
Of course, from a ski perspective, we do have resorts that specialize more in adults and groups of friends going to go ski.
Yes.
But then there's a massive part of our brand that caters just for children. And, you know, resort depending, it can go from 4 months old all the way up to 17 years old. We've got the kids clubs that are included in your package. And that really ensures that your kids have as fantastic time as you do.
Yeah.
They go for their own ski lessons.
Those little shits learn. No, they do. I mean, my nephews went with my brother and sister-in-law last year. I think they were 8 and 6, and they were loving it. Mm. And they learn so quickly.
They do. I mean, they're fearless.
When I first went and I was learning to ski, these kids were embarrassing the hell out of me because they learn way faster than you. Before you know it, they are skiing past you at like unbelievable speeds.
Yeah.
And you're like,
that is crazy. Yeah. So Camille, I just want to understand, all-inclusive means everything's included.
Yes.
Everything.
Everything. So
Mash loves this.
Gourmet dining, open bar, really important for South Africans.
Take my money. Take my money.
Yeah. Pulsa. Cocktails, all kinds of shit.
Bar, and in our top category of resorts called Exclusive Collection, you get unlimited champagne, which for me is a big tick.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Tick all the boxes.
I didn't know that.
And then, you know, I know we're focusing a lot on the ski resorts, but we have a massive portfolio of sun resorts, which also include a wide variety of activities and sports, one of which, trapeze, is one of my most favorite things I've done as an adult.
You can do trapeze?
Yes. They literally teach you how to... I mean, you could join the circus afterwards if you really felt like it.
It's phenomenal.
They teach you how to do like a flying catch. You know, when you swing and then the instructor catches you and you go. It is
much fun. Which resorts teach you this?
So we have it at Albion, which is one of our resorts in Mauritius that I've been to. Uh-huh. We're opening Club Med South Africa, which I'm sure we're going
to
touch on.
We'll get to that in a second.
Trapeze will be there. And we have it at many other resorts globally. So,
unbelievable.
Yeah. And paddle tennis, very big in South Africa.
Ooh, love me some paddle.
Yeah,
but
so
you know,
we have
The sun resorts, and I think, you know, we spent a fair amount of time on the skiing ones. But most South Africans know and love a beach holiday, and especially if it's on an island.
Yes.
Okay, where you feel like you're totally removed from the normal Joburg, humdrum, social media obsessed, using AI to do all your work world that we live in now. What properties do you have in that portfolio? Because you have so many resorts all over the world. Mm. I mean, where do you even start?
Yeah, so I think closer to home with the ones that are really popular for South Africans would be Indian Ocean Islands. So Mauritius, we've got two resorts in Mauritius. We've got a resort in Seychelles on St. Anne Island. So it's on its own island. It's the most incredible property. We've got two resorts in Maldives. So that's sort of closer to home. Then you go a bit further abroad. We've got lots in the Mediterranean. So Greece, Sicily, which I went to last year, really stunning resort. In the town of Cefalu. Spain, sure, I could go on forever. We've got resorts in Bali, Phuket, which covers the Asia side, Rio Bintan. And then in across the way into the Americas, South America, we've got a couple of resorts in Brazil, Dominican Republic, Caribbean. You can throw a stone and hit a Club Med.
That's great. Okay, so for a lot of people, the South African Club Med, which we've heard rumors about for the last few years.
Yes.
Going to be on the northern KZN coast.
Absolutely.
And tell us what you can about this place.
Yeah.
So sounds fantastic.
It is absolutely exciting. It's a 2 billion rand project, which is in partnership with our developers, the Collins Group. And that looks after two parts of the development. There's a beach and a safari resort. The beach resort is located in an area called Tinley Manor. And it is expected to launch in July 2026. So it's around the corner. A very big build. You're looking at about 411 rooms. Three restaurants, three pools, kids clubs from 4 months up to 17 years old.
Oh, wow.
And then, as I mentioned earlier, the some trapeze. Really cool, yeah, really cool sports and activities. So trapeze, paddle courts, stand-up paddle, and the very first Club Med surf school. So that's very exciting for us as a brand in totality. So that's really the basics of the accommodation side. I think from a corporate side, which is very exciting for me, considering I look after mice, is that the development is going to have expansive conferencing facilities. Okay. So, the conferencing facility will cater for up to 500 people, which is really big, and something that the country needs, you know, it's difficult to come across such big. Yeah. Facilities, and it will have state-of-the-art audiovisual and equipment to hold world-class conferences.
So how far off are we?
In terms of?
When can people start going there?
Okay, so hopefully July 2026.
Okay.
We're going to be opening sales in October this year. So Club Med has two season opening sales a year, one in the beginning of the year where we book most of our snow holidays for the following season, and then one in October where we sell a European summer, if I can call it that. And that's when we will be opening the sales for Club Med South Africa. So a very exciting time. And I think, you know, as a South African, one of the most feel-good parts is really the employment that comes from opening a resort like that.
Certainly, yeah.
Currently, just in the construction side of things, the development employs 1,200 people.
Yo.
And we'll be adding another 220 hospitality roles, prioritizing local employment and upliftment. So it's very exciting.
That's awesome. I see a comment here from a couple of people, the people who've been to your resorts and love them.
Yes.
In fact, there's something very nice. One of them just said here, Roxanne Momberg says, Club Meds are the best, always a reliable resort with yummy food and drinks. Nice. Gareth, does their package include lift tickets and all the gear you need for the snowboarding? Oh, yeah. Once you've booked for those things, they take care of all of that, because you need a pass, for example, a ski pass, which also is part of what they're, but they tell you all of that ahead of time. So you know, okay, this is what I'm in for. And I'll tell you what, because you don't know what currencies are going to do, once you've booked it, it's like, okay, that's my end of year bonus to myself.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So once I've arrived there, I'm just, that's going to be my time for me.
I love the conference facilities that you mentioned. I just typed that down. next year's work. Corporate conference.
Are you going to be booking that there?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling them now.
You know who to come to.
I'm telling them now.
Yeah.
Klar.
Yeah. And I think for many companies, they're bored with using the same places in South Africa. And this will be totally new and shiny and exciting in all the right ways. Mm-hmm. So I think there's probably going to be an enormous amount of interest.
Yeah. And I mean, the property is developed in such a way that almost every room is sea-facing.
Oh,
so
wow,
you have
wow.
a stunning sea view. It's right on the beach. I mean, honestly, yeah. it is a prime piece of land, and so, it's going to be a game changer.
Congo Chris says, it all sounds way too comfortable and luxurious. I want a Club Med for adversity. Club Med come Staldraat, where you suffer. Gaynor from Fearin says, it sounds fab. I'm totally coming to visit the new Club Med in South Africa. There we go. And had a craving last week to snowboard again, but Afri Ski is cuck, says Bitcoin Boot. Yeah, I mean, you can't really do much on snow that's that
thin. Yeah.
You no. really can't.
And I think one of the wonderful things about our resorts is we have so many resorts in the Alps that are incredibly high altitude. So you have a long ski period that, you know, we can entertain.
I saw someone I know yesterday send me a video of they're up in the snow now.
Absolutely.
Now.
We and call it sort of spring skiing. Yeah. If you go to the high altitude resorts, you can still get fantastic snow up to the end of April.
Wow.
I was in Tien last year. I think it was the last week of April I was there. Uh-huh. And the snow was incredible. Absolutely incredible. It was like the white Christmas I've never had.
Bloody brilliant. Okay, I love it. And here we go. Here's some pictures. Look at this.
Yeah.
That's going to be fantastic when you open up the South African one. But I love that you guys have more and more of these places available.
Mm.
And what's the best way to book through travel.co.za?
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What did you want to ask, Mash?
Oh, what website are you on there? Is that a
James, where are we there? Are we on? That's Club Med.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what's the address? Site.
Club Med.
Oh, is this Club Med?
Okay.
Yeah.
But go to travel.co.za.
But you can go to travel.co.za and they are our travel partners, and you can book any Club Med destination through travel.co.za.
Okay, I am on travel.co.za, honey. Oh, we are on.
Yeah.
All
our packages will be there.
You see, I told you it would be worth your while coming this morning.
Definitely is.
All right, Camille, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's
very good
fantastic.
To have you here.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. That is the window seat. Go to travel.co.za for more. And a big thank you to Camille for being with us today to talk all about Club Med. And I think especially that South African resort, which I think a lot of people are going to be very excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all we got time for in the first hour. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.